Chapter 8. The next morning, Wade Courtney rode back to the homestead for his breakfast when the sun was high. One of the grooms took his horse and led it away to the paddock, and Wade stood in front of the saddle room and looked around him. He looked at the neat white posts of the paddock, at the well-swept yard, at his house filled with fine furniture. It was a good feeling to be rich, especially when you knew what it was to be poor. 15,000 acres of good grassland, so many cattle as the land would carry, gold in the bank. Wade smiled and started across the yard. He heard Ada singing in the dairy. How rides the farmer? Sit, sit, so, sit, so, tra-la. The Cape Town girls say, kiss me quick, tra-la. She had a clear, sweet voice, and Wade's smile broadened. It was a good feeling to be rich and to be in love. He stopped at the door of the dairy. Because of the thick stone walls and heavy thatch, it was cool and dark in the room. Ada stood with her back to the door, her body moving in time to the song and the turning of the butter churn. Wade watched her a moment. Then he walked up behind her and put his arms around her waist. Startled, she turned within his arms and he kissed her on the mouth. "Good morning, my pretty maid." She relaxed against him.
"Good morning, sir," she said.
"What's for breakfast?"
"Oh, what a romantic fool I married."
She sighed.
"Come along, let's go and see."
She took off her apron, hung it behind the door, patted her hair into place, and held her hand out to him. They walked hand in hand across the yard and into the kitchen. Wade sniffed loudly.
"Smells all right. Where are the boys?"
Joseph understood English, though he could not speak it. He looked up from the stove.
"In Kosi, they are on the front veranda."
Joseph had the typical moon-round face of the Zulu. When he smiled, his teeth were big and white against the black of his skin.
"They are playing with Nkosizano Gary's wooden leg."
Wade's face flushed.
"How did they find it?" "Nkosizano Sean asked me where it was, and I told him you had put it in the linen cupboard."
"You bloody fool!" roared Wade. He dropped Ada's hand and ran. As he reached the lounge, he heard Sean shout, and immediately there was the sound of someone falling heavily on the veranda. He stopped in the middle of the lounge floor. He couldn't bear to go out and face Garrick's terror. He felt sick with dread and with anger at Sean. Then he heard Sean laugh.
"Get off me, men! Don't just lie there!"
And then, incredibly, Garrick's voice.
"Sorry, it caught in the floorboards."
Wade walked across to the window and looked out onto the veranda. Sean and Garrick lay in a heap together near the far end. Sean was still laughing, and on Garrick's face was a set, nervous smile. Sean scrambled up.
"Come on, get up!"
He gave Garrick his hand and dragged him to his feet. They stood clinging to each other, Garrick balancing precariously on his peg.
"I bet if it was me, I could just walk easy as anything," said Sean.
"I bet you couldn't. It's jolly difficult."
Sean let go of him and stood back with his arms spread, ready to catch him.
"Come on."
Sean walked backwards in front of him, and Garrick followed unsteadily, his arms flapping out sideways as he struggled to keep his balance, his face rigid with concentration. He reached the end of the veranda and caught onto the rail with both hands. This time he joined in Sean's laughter. Wade became aware that Ada was standing beside him. He glanced sideways at her, and her lips formed the words,
Come away. She took his arm.